4a and verse 19. 4a, and I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession. And verse 19, O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and act. Do not delay for your own name's sake. My God, for your city and your people are called by your name. Beloved in the Lord, many events, crises, and evil things have happened in our world over the past years. Terrorist attacks, bombings and mass shootings. Abortions are performed by the millions each year. The LGBTQ agenda, sexual immorality, and now even COVID have eroded our religious freedoms, and persecution is at hand. Now I wonder how that has affected the people of our nation and all of us. How do we react and how do we respond? And so we come to the text as we just read for you, Daniel 9, 4a and verse 19. Daniel, who does not know Daniel? The book from which we read bears his name. As a teenager, young people, he was taken with many others captive to Babylon, and there this young man received a place at the court of the king. He was instructed in the learning and the language of the Chaldeans. How many friends did Daniel have? Boys and girls, how many friends did Daniel have? He had three real friends. You know, you can find many friends and have many friends, but he had three real friends. The Lord gave those four men wisdom and insight, and to Daniel he also gave the ability to interpret dreams. In the course of time, this Daniel also became a great statesman, and you could see that he belongs to the three top men directly under the king. As is clear from the book that bears his name, he was also a prophet of the living God. The message that he had was God's message, and it comprises past, present, and future. And so that message of Daniel so long ago also speaks to us today. Above all this, Daniel was a man of prayer. Just look at chapter 6. He had a house in Babylon, and in that house he had an upper room. There were windows in these, and these windows opened towards Jerusalem. Before the open window, this young man, Daniel, knelt and prayed to the God of Israel. In his prayer, he brought his own needs and the needs of the captive and sinful people of Israel and of all others to the Lord. Daniel, and I may portray him to you this morning as a man of prayer. Then we need to look at ourselves, men, women, boys, and girls. What is it now that characterizes our life? Are we, by the grace of God, a praying people? Daniel, a man of prayer. Let us look in the first place, his confession, secondly, his supplication, and thirdly, his plea. I hope you will never forget it. Daniel, a man of prayer. Here in this chapter 9, we have the content of one of his prayers, and I say to old and young, read and reread these verses in chapter 9. We don't know how and what to pray for, but we have a God in heaven, the living God, and he teaches people to pray from out of his word and through the word and spirit. And don't forget Daniel. And what did I say? Do you still remember, young people? Daniel, a man like unto us, all of us. And like Paul also says, he confesses, I do not know what I ought to pray for, but you know the Lord taught him. And then let it be clear to all of us how the Lord teaches people who must confess that they don't know what to pray for. The Lord teaches them to pray through the Spirit and look from the open Word of God. It says in verse 2 that he read in the books, and that means the scrolls of the collections of writings of the Old Testament, among which these writings were the writings of the prophet Jeremiah. And so Daniel had with him a collection of the scriptures as it existed at that time. Boys and girls, what did he do? He read the scriptures and he searched the scriptures. From the open Bible, he learned to pray. The Spirit taught him to pray from out of the scriptures and according to the scriptures. And so you notice that this long prayer is in harmony with the scriptures. We learn to pray from the open and living Word of God. And I say unto all, there is no other source than the Word of the living God. Oh, we know there are good books on prayer, but good books are always rooted in the scriptures, and they lead us back to the scriptures. Daniel read in the prophecy of Jeremiah how the Lord foretold through the prophet that the judgment of the captivity would last 70 years. And as Daniel now came to that in verse 2, he took it up in his prayer and he understood what God said, that after Israel, after 70 years, shall return to his own land. That was a promise of God, a promise, congregation, to a sinful and unworthy people in themselves. And what did Daniel now do when he read about those 70 years? When he read about that promise of God, did he say, Lord, fulfill thy promise, I go by myself? Are we not inclined to do just that? But verse 4 says, and I prayed unto the Lord my God and made confession. In chapter 6, we read that he prayed and made supplication. Confession and supplication, these words have very much in common, and that is why Dr. D. Young, in his commentary, also uses the word confession in chapter 6. Daniel prayed, and in verse 5 he said, now listen, we have sinned, acted wickedly, being rebellious, and departing from thy precepts, thy law. Thou came to us through thy servant the prophet, and we refuse to hear. And so you see, when Daniel prays, he doesn't point to others, but he says, we, the leaders and the people of Israel, and he includes himself. His confession of sin, congregation, is very complete and sincere. Daniel makes clear that he and his people are not the victims of the world power of Babylon. Why is that covenant people in captivity? The prophet says it before the face of the holy God. It is the righteous judgments of God because of their sins and unfaithfulness. You know, the Lord says through the prophet Jeremiah in chapter 2, my people, listen, congregation, my people. And why have my people done? What have my people done? They have committed two evils. What did they do? One, they left the living God as the fountain of living water. And not far away from the fountain, they made themselves cisterns. They proved to be broken cisterns, which hold no water. And that meant dryness and thirst. We might be inclined to say it is foolish, but the word of the Lord says, my people have committed two evils. Then Jeremiah says in chapter 11, they obeyed not, and they inclined not their ear. The Lord told the people, all my people, hearken unto my voice. And is it not something that the people as a whole refuse to listen? So it is not a matter of not being able to listen. That is also true, but the emphasis is upon the refusal to listen. You know, when I see boys and girls in church, I always think that is great. Yes, take them along as long as you are able. Sometimes they come home from school and they say, Mom, listen. But Mom is busy with other things. And then what happens, boys and girls? It goes in one ear and out the other. Mom's heart, mind, and ears are busy with other things. And so you see, the heart and mind of Israel was busy with other things. They did not listen to the servant of the Lord who spoke in his name. And what does Daniel do? In his confession, he confesses it as sin against God. You know the Lord gave us two ears. You also have two ears. And why did the Lord give us two ears? Not that you should listen to all kinds of worldly talk and music. In the first place, the Lord has given us ears that we should hear him as he speaks to us in his word. I don't know if you have ever been troubled about the fact that you say, O Lord, I have abused my ears by not hearing what thou hast to say unto us in thy word. And so Daniel humbles himself with and for his people before the living God. I prayed and made confession. O Lord, we have sinned, been wicked, rebelled, and transgressed thy law. And with his open Bible, you see, he came to make his confession and pray for forgiveness. And that is the way, congregation. That is the way. And don't you ever say, the Lord has to give me an ear to hear. The Lord gave you ears, but what have you done with your ears in your life? Notice then, as Daniel prays, he knows about the promise, but he does not hold up his hands and say, Lord, give, but he folds his hands. He folds his hands and he pleads that the Lord, in his grace and mercy, will forgive. Then you see the fruit of his reading and searching the book, the scriptures. A top man at the court of the king, but he is not ashamed, congregation, to say it in our language, to read his Bible regularly and to pray. And the cause of his captive people and of himself and of the nation around them, he brought before the Lord. Now let us consider that in connection with our position as churches and church members. Much should and could be said about the time in which we live. It is an evil time. It is a godless time. What do you read in your daily papers? What do you hear? What do you perhaps see around you? I mentioned many evils in our times and the way of our nation. Are we departing too? Or must we say, departing from God? Our own eyes, by the grace and the Spirit of God, are trained so that we see through the things that are happening. You see, that is the great danger. We get so used to all that has taken place in our country and in this world that we don't see it anymore. Congregation, that is the problem with the churches also around here. The false pilgrim, simple sloth and presumption mentioned in Pilgrim's Progress, fell asleep, and their lies slumbered along with them. And how is it in your city or town? You know as well as I, you can lament and complain about the spiritual condition in the world, in our nation, and among the churches. But who are we as churches, and who are we as members? Are we aware and have we learned to know our own sin and transgressions? Or, young people, is it always the others and the world? Now remember, I do not point out these things to excuse the others, but I will say it because we should rightly understand ourselves, that we, with Daniel, may humble ourselves, because that is the great need of our time. If we as churches and as church members should be a blessing unto our nation like Daniel, we have to humble ourselves before God. Then we do not say, they must have sinned, but like Daniel, we say, we have sinned and done evil in thy sight. The word of the Lord has spoken. And how do you sit in church? Are you all ears? Or are the words going over and alongside of you? Maybe there are people here that have been impressed by the sincere call of the Lord to repentance and to faith, and that on Sunday, after church, you say to yourself, it has to be become different in my life. How was it, congregation, at the end of the week? What has God and His Word and His Spirit done in your life? Is there the true humiliation among us? Understand me rightly. I am not trying to squeeze this prayer of Daniel in the system, but the Lord teaches us here to pray by the open Bible, and that as a humble people we may plead upon the promises of God. And you know, as you come before God, a humbled and broken-hearted person, then you do not have much to say. For you discover in your own life not much that is not right in the sight of God. The prophet had said, "Thy people, Lord, thy people, they refuse to listen." Now I pray in his confession, O Lord, hear. Incline thy ear, O Lord, forgive. You see, that is how the Lord teaches us to pray. Like a mother teaches her child, just repeat after me. And so we may repeat after the Lord. So the first we see Daniel's confession, then we will consider his supplication. You pray, don't you? Young people, you pray, don't you? Do you ever consider who God is? He is the living God. Do you also consider who you are? Is there, when we pray, the contrition of heart? Have we really heard what we sing sometimes? The Lord, even though we have not always heard, listen to him. He hears the needy when they cry. He saves their souls when death draws nigh. You see, this is God. And so Daniel, as a man of prayer, and he says in verse 19, O Lord, do it for thy own sake, delay not. And as I said, it points to the promise that God gave in the past, that the people shall return to the promised land. Verse 19 points back to verse 2, about the 70 years. So Daniel in his prayer says, Lord, there is that promise of thee. I pray thee, defer not, delay not, graciously fulfill thy promise. Why did Israel have to return to the promised land? Because out of that people, in God's time, the Messiah would be born. That the Messiah will be born, and people shall revolt against him. Daniel, in a very brief way, is portraying the sufferings of Christ for the sins of his people. And the mighty miracle is that we have a God who triumphs through the sufferings of his own Son, Jesus Christ. And that, in short, is the meaning of these verses that follow. So we may draw the line to us today. You know that the Savior has come, do you not? He was crucified, he died, he made atonement for sin, and he rose again, and he is now the living Lord at the right hand of the Father. And if we now pray, O Lord, defer or delay not, what is it, congregation, that we pray for? Do you find it strange when I say that we pray for the glorious return of the Lord Jesus Christ? And he himself has told us after his resurrection, all power has been given to me in heaven and on earth. He is the mighty one. But what do we see of it in this world as we live? Doesn't it seem as if he is deferring, as if he is delaying? Is Jesus gaining ground? Is he gaining ground or losing ground? Does the church in 2021 still have a living message to the world today? Do we pray like Daniel and say, O Lord, defer, delay not, come, Lord Jesus? And now, congregation, how is that in your life, young people? I'd like to come and say, have you learned to pray from the open Bible? to pray also for the second coming of the Lord Jesus in glory. Someone said it, yes, Pastor, but that is so difficult. I like this, and I like that, and I like this, and it's so on. And who are we that we can stand for Christ when he comes in glory? I understand the difficulty, congregation, not only of the young people, but also of the older ones. But you know, if you find it difficult to pray with the heart and from the heart for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, then lay it before the Lord in prayer. Then say, Lord, I am not ready, but I should be ready. Oh, give that I may hear and that I may understand and that I may repent and believe. How can you then look for the coming of Christ in glory? He came for the first time, you remember. Behold, the Lamb of God. Oh, my people, behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. And those sins, they are as scarlet. The blood that is shed upon the cross of Calvary, that cleanses you from all sin. And then when you look at yourself, who was Israel in captivity? Who are we? Paul says in Ephesians, many spots and wrinkles, many spots and stains. We are still in this evil world, and you know many things of this evil world are still in us. We must pray and confess much evil is still in our hearts. And what can you and what can I say? We can only say with Daniel, we have sinned. And what is the ground for this prayer? It is the finished work of Jesus Christ. He has finished it all. The foundation is laid, congregation, and upon that foundation he is building living stones, a holy temple in the Lord. And you see, as long as the Lord delays his coming, it means that the temple is not yet finished. And he is coming to complete it, to finish all things. If you then see only, not only the sins and the imperfections around you, but also within you, should you not pray that the Lord will complete his work in you? Or are you still busy with the things of this world, and perhaps you think very little of the second coming of Christ? You know, it is true what a certain author says in one of his books, we are of the earth, so earthly. Then I think of Paul. He says, I have a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. But if I look at the churches, I desire to be here yet and to serve the churches. And isn't that the experience of God's people throughout the centuries, being torn between these two? A desire to depart, but there are also the bonds with many who are dear to us, which bind you here on earth. But often you must say, to be with Christ is far better. You know, then I think of a bride. Some of you remember when you were a bride, right? Some long ago, others not so long, and you remember how the bride looked for the day of the wedding and the bridegroom. I do not need to say it. You all know how the bridegroom looks for the wedding day. You know that is the picture, the church. She is called the bride, and she says, yes, I have a lovely bridegroom, but I feel pretty good here yet, and he may delay his coming as yet. That is how we pray when we have the Bible closed. He may delay his coming. But when you open your Bible, the Spirit teaches you to pray, come, Lord Jesus. When you go home, old and young, take a piece of paper and just begin writing down what you pray for every day. Make a list and then check your list. Do you also pray, Lord Jesus, come quickly and delay not? You see, that is what the Lord is trying to teach us. Do you pray for the churches? Do you pray for our country and for our world? You know the Lord Jesus told us to pray, deliver us from evil. And if you see then how the evil forces manifest themselves, Ought you not to be more fervent in prayer? O Lord, deliver us. When you see what is taking place in this world, do you not hear, congregation, the footsteps of Jesus Christ who is coming? I hope there are none here present who say, now, Pastor, that is enough. I'm not interested in hearing about the second coming of Christ. Congregation, I do not know whether you count on it that you will be here next Sunday, but it is possible that Jesus is coming this week. Are you ready? Or if the Lord should take you out of life, are you prepared? It will be something if the Lord will have to say to anyone, old or young, like Israel, you received ears, but you refused to listen. And God forbid that this glorious gospel should fall upon deaf ears. People who have come to know the Lord Jesus, they desire to be pleasing unto him in all things. They must confess with pain and grief that while they desire to do the good, evil is still present. Therefore, the people of God, they are not weary of life. Sometimes it can be too much, but as a rule, they are not weary of life, but they are weary of sin and all the imperfections in their own life. And so they pray with the open Bible, O Lord, delay not. Then you see how personal faith is. Then we will pray that our Lord and Savior will come quickly. And then you can get the last plea, the last part, the plea. On what does Daniel rest his plea? There is nothing in that people, congregation. There is nothing in him. But he says very simply, for thy name's sake, O Lord. There it is, pleading upon God's promises, pleading upon what he has promised for his own name's sake. Nothing in us, nothing in Israel. It is all of God, all of grace, and all of sovereign mercy. Then take it, then think of it, people. In captivity, the country devastated, the city and the holy temple of the Lord in ruins. Lord, for thy name's sake. Isn't that wonderful? Even if all of the world and hell comes up against us, that we may say, for thy own sake, O Lord. Then we get these last words of our text, for thy people, a sinful and unworthy people, but thy people, and thy city are called after thy name, the name that is the revelation of God. There in Jerusalem stood the temple. There was the altar upon which the sacrifices for sin were made, and there everything spoke of the name of the Lord. He could dwell in the midst of that sinful people because of those sacrifices for sin. So above the altar, the name of the Lord is written in full and big letters. You know, congregation, I wish I could tell you how deeply the Lord stoops down to a sinful and unworthy people in themselves. Lord, that wasted land and that ruined city and temple, they are called after thy name alone. And so Daniel prays for the fulfillment of God's promise. Lord, forgive. But Lord, also give the fulfillment. And so he pleads upon God's name, upon the grace and the mercy of God, his compassion as he has fully revealed it in Christ Jesus, for thy city and for thy temple are called after thy name. So Daniel looks back. Everything in Israel testified against it. Jerusalem, the temple in ruins, and so he becomes a humble man. He confesses, congregation, not they, but we have sinned. Lord, forgive. And as a forgiven sinner, he looks up to the Lord in faith and he pleads, Lord, for thy own name's sake, thy people and thy city are called after thy name. And now read, congregation, and now read, congregation, with the Bible open. Parents, if your children have perhaps gone another way, and you say there is nothing in me and nothing in my children, but there is the name of the Lord. We are called after thy name, O Lord. Let them not go their own way, but let thy word be with power and break their hearts and turn them unto thee. In these troubling times in which we live, we may not let our hard times cause us to despair, but that we may look up, Lord Jesus, thou hast promised that thou wilt come and make all things new. Come, Lord Jesus.